fairly briefly turn to three sections. The first one found in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, please. And verse 23. Romans 3 verse 23. Well-known verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I'm going to explain this verse in a minute or two. Turn the page, please, to Romans 5. Romans 5, please. And let's read from verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for by all sin. Acts 13 says, and verse. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. And this is all we want to do. Now you can plainly see that in Romans 3 and 23, we've got the all of sin, excluded. None. Everyone is included. We all of sin. In the Roman Epistle chapter 5, as followed by Pauline, teaching in relation to the gospel, because all have sinned, therefore all must die. And in Acts 13, you've got the all of justification. Now, first of all, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, what does it mean? All have sinned. Now, first of all, I want to give you an example from history. If some of us come from Europe, know in the Middle Ages, especially in the British Isles, to a certain degree that was also true of the continent, there were men who were expert Germans, especially to the days of Robin Hood. Who among us hasn't heard of Robin Hood? That is, men who could handle expertly the golden arrow, and they would never miss. And the reason why these men were expert marksmen with the bow and arrow was that frequently they trained, whether in the forest or somewhere where they were to take the train. And every year they have an annual competition, during which the best marksman in all the British Isles was determined. Now, these men, each one, were given 10 arrows. And they're placed a considerable distance from the target. And if these men shot and they missed the bull's eye, all the crowd shouted sinner. In other words, you missed the mark. But if these men, after aiming the arrow, departed and hit what we call the bull's eye, the people shouted in approval and they shouted, you're ashamed, in other words, you're perfect. Now, this is what's behind Romans 3 and 23. Look, friend, if you do, no matter who you are, all have sinned. Everyone included? None is excluded. I know this is one of the most difficult truths to get across. The first thing I heard in the gospel in the open air meeting about 26 years ago in the city of Toronto, the Allen Garden. After the service was over, I listened attentively. God had prepared my heart. I knew I needed something else than monetary gain. I knew I needed something else than popularity. I needed something else than religion. So these men, different in the age of 18 up to 65, proclaimed Christ. And the message sort of captivated my heart. After the service, a young man came across and he said, now, what did you think about preaching? I said, you boys are right, my broken English. The second question was a rather pointed one. He said, now, do you realize that you are a sinner? Now, I could admit that, simply because in my past experience as a little fellow in wartime Europe, I recognize scriptural truth, and that is all men have sinned. All have sinned. Yeah. You know, a number of years ago, we were preaching the gospel in the Midwestern states. The Lord seemed good and saved a good number of souls in that part of the country. When the gospel first came into those hills, west of the Mississippi River, in a place called Guttenberg in Garnavilla, that's going 60 years back, there's a dear man who came along, a wealthy, influential farmer in the area. And he was all he was associated with a certain Protestant denomination. He came along, heard these men in the tent, preaching the gospel that man has been made the Savior. The gospel message is simple. And the Spirit of God, after convicting him of his own sin, began to work. And this is how it happened. It happened in a cow stable. The man was milking his cows by hand. And as he looked around, the Spirit of God impressed him with the truth of sin. And he looked at the cow ahead of him, and he said, "Now look, this cow is good for something, because it keeps me in bread and butter. Keeps me in money supply." And then he looked up in the barn, amazing what the Spirit of God can do. And he saw that great beam that had held the barn and all the butter and the hay and the machinery and stuff. And he thought to himself, you know, this earth is good for something. This barn will have good structure. And then his eyes dropped down into the gutter and he saw the manure. And he thought to himself, now, you know, that manure is good for something, because it fertilizes next year's crop. And then he had a good look at his own heart, and you know what he thought? And he said it out loud. He said, "I'm good for nothing." No, I'm good for nothing. You know, when a man gets down to that level, he's not far from God. I know it will humble your pride. God has to do it with me. He has to give us all of God. And everyone who accepts Christ as Savior, we know what it is to be humble. Let's all we are sinners saved by the grace of God. Let's all I undertook the night I just saved. So God, I'm a sinner, I don't want to go to hell. I need Christ as my Savior, and I took him. Yeah, the oil is the most difficult thing to get across. In 10 meetings, we see how the young woman gets saved. The Spirit of God dealt with her in such a way that she couldn't refrain from crying. And she couldn't collect that to how many are. Then she stood outside the tent. She wanted to know her sins forgiven. Well, she got saved the next day, but her husband was a different type altogether. You know, when you see the gospel, I find that one thing. I find, as a rule, that girls and women respond quicker than men and boys. In my experience, men and boys sometimes are slower to respond than women and girls. So the dear young woman got saved, but she was a rather good-looking fellow. And that likely hindered him from admitting his sin. You know, young woman, I want to tell you. You know that outward attraction and outward beauty can be hindered from you coming to Christ. He's listening. You know the young man who thinks he's just a demon type. He doesn't need to tell them. The young woman with every young man at her feet may not recognize her need, because the devil has blinded her with outward things. That's what all has such what Absalom has called the Old Testament teenager. Great rich value on outward things and appearance. But never look into the matter of his soul's salvation. That's a tragedy. See, this young man, you know, after life broke the knee, and she just said, "Well, you know, Larry was his name." He let me just sniff, and he said, "Oh, no, that's not for me. Oh, no." But all the Christians were praying that Larry will recognize his need in one night in heaven. He was in the tavern drinking with a friend. And as he came out, he wasn't intoxicated, but he didn't see the sheriff, which had parked his car just around the corner, just waiting for men like Larry. And all he did see, he didn't see the regular driving of the truck. He saw that was one great light ahead and the trooper followed him. Now, as soon as Larry saw the trooper coming, he recognized he'd have to undergo an alcohol test. And he quickly put down to the floor the gas pedal and shot into the night. Now, that's the wrong move to make down in America. Especially when you had a terrible before. So the man raided ahead. And Larry did make it to home, put on the brake. I don't know why he did it, but nevertheless he ran into the cornfield in Iowa corn in July, August of 75. And he hit. And four police cars with a light flickering surrounded the cornfield. And those officers with a drawn gun to the bull horn held it after Larry and said, "You come out with your hands on your head or else." No, Larry had no other choice. And he seemed like a dead man. And no, he came the next 2 days, those men don't fool around. He law and what he wanted. And he said to me, "No, Fred, I have time to reflect in that pretty song. And it was there when God humbled me into it." Oh, I didn't realize my need before of Christ, but now he did all of a sudden. You know, God sometimes has to bring about a humbling process in your life. That's why Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Oh, Jesus never came to say to save the self-righteous. When do you realize your need? So Paul says, "You're all that sin that includes me." And then he asked that come forth of the glory of God. What does it mean? No, let's suppose you're all down in Arizona, about 150 miles north of Phoenix. You're standing on the southern rim of the Grand Canyon. I want you to be plain. Now let's suppose that, and you know the Grand Canyon is about a mile deep and places 4 miles wide. Let's suppose there we are lined up on the southern rim and the day is that we all have to take 5 paces backwards and run as hard as we can to physically break the goal and jump to the northern ridge. Oh, goodness, that's impossible. You see the stresses. There are some young men here and some of them are 6 footers. And likely you would be able to gas into space maybe 15 feet. There are some gentlemen here, they're in their 70s, maybe 80s or 90s, and you would launch into space something like 2 feet, but the end result would be all the same. You'd be just in pieces at the bottom. That's the idea. Now this is Romans 3 and the latter half of verse 23. Not only do we have the all sin that makes us miss the mark. Young men, older persons, businessmen, housewives, how are you here? You are not the man that God intends you to be if you don't know Christ. You've missed the mark. Not only have you missed the mark, but you have come short. You see, physically, you cannot, nor mentally, nor in any other way, can you attain to God's perfect holiness standard. That's the idea, you've come short. Now look at the servant. You know, some men, about 64, 65. The tallest man who lived in Chicago, I think he was about 60. The giants in the days of the Canaanites, some of them were 90, possibly even the better, like Goliath. Now let's suppose we're all lined up on the stage here, and our physical height would have to be marked. Now some of the 4-year-olds, they only come to you. Tallest men would like the power of the rest. But let's suppose that we're that sick up there, that's let's suppose is God's perfect standard. You see, none of us will attain to God's perfect standard. This is what Paul brings out in the Roman Epistle. We have come short of the glory of God. Look, friends, from now until you die, you could attend church services that will never get to the end. You could work the fingers of your hands to merit God's favor at just one work. You have come forth, and physically none of us will attain to God's perfect standard. All have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. Now then, therefore, in Paul's treatment, and by the way, I want to give a little advice to them. Whatever you want to get right, get busy with your own thing, forget the things of others. For he that justifies himself, God is going to condemn. But he or she that condemns him or herself, God's going to justify. Look, friend, I know the devil uses this awful snare, and he would whisper to me, now look, I'm not that bad as my neighbor. And he will even bring up the fault of those that you know are saved. Oh, the devil is true. Said, give me my young man, older person, this your own thing for God's sake. And forget about the things of God. Not a all that good. Knowing Paul's exposition of the gospel and the teaching of all the Old and New Testament is the prophet when you and I die. And I want to tell you. I want to tell you. On this night, down the center of the life. Now let's mention it. Have you ever accepted death, physical death that is, as absolute, irrevocable, and final? Come on. Have you ever accepted physical death as absolute, final, and irrevocable? You know, that's one thing the servant of God impressed me years before I got it right. I could not. That's just a time. Now, if you do, you're capitulated. Let me open it. You know, nature teaches you that death is something totally foreign. But please, remember the writing. As they went through Central Europe, most of the European villages, what we call a village tree, a big oak, a big cedar or a tree, it's a mark. You know, I reason within myself, but the truth of God, I thought, now look, this tree is at least 600 years old. It is primitive vegetable matter. And how come that I was prophet in Sunday school. They never preached the gospel where we were, but they preached the Ten Commandments, that's all I knew. But I had enough knowledge of the scriptures to realize that mankind needs me. You included. You are supposed to be God's highest in creation. Now how come you and I die? And you are primitive vegetable matter. Look at those sequoias down in California, the crystal cone vines. Some of them live to be 2,000 years of age. Primitive matter, yet how come you die? Sometimes at night I would look up into the and I see those stars just twinkling in the Milky Way, your mind just reels as if you got free. And I thought to myself, now look here, primitive mineral matter. Been there for thousands of years. This is God's creation. How come I'm supposed to be the highest in God's creation? How come I die? I thought it. Oh, death is close sometimes. My grandfather died, he didn't know the gospel at the time. You know, when death invades the family, something altogether different. My younger brother, he was only 11. He had always been a girl. Grandpa played with us, grandpa was a boy, grandpa did his best. He's gone, silent. Just about a year ago, I had the sad responsibility to go over to the old country. Father, yes, and work still. He never left any second. The family members asked him to the funeral. I would have rather gone to ask it. What are you going to say? He knew what I believe. He knew what I said. I don't know what transpired the last 2 days or evening of his personal suffering. But you know, death is a real thing. and from the Spirit comes to you. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, all must die that includes you. You know, in our world, we do take a lot of funerals. Our brother's going to one on Tuesday. The youngest girl we ever buried was a 4-year-old up in Northern Ontario. Died with spinal meningitis, only 4 the little cross. Coffin was sealed, plastically sealed simply because of a contagious disease. The oldest man we ever buried was 93. In Phoenix, Arizona, a pastor took a funeral 2 years ago. You know, it concerned a teenager. Look, young woman, young man, you have no guarantee you'll ever see the first snowflake falling into Muskoka region. You have no guarantee. The girl that I'm speaking of died under some tragic circumstances. You know, she was brought up in a Sunday school. And one day, as we were walking, the two girls on the way to the shopping mall, happens all the time, the two young men in a car, and they stopped the car, would you like a ride? Foolishly, the girls consented, and they went. And rather than go to the shopping mall, the boys asked them, all the things to them, rather please, I know. I want to hear you, some of the strangers. These boys asked them to come along to the house, and there they started a drinking party, if you please. And those girls must have been familiar with that kind of life because it comes from the girl. It was during the drinking spell that one girl took a mouthful of a very strong intoxicating drink and was so strong that it took her. She operated. And she lay bleeding on the floor. And then she was quickly transported into the hospital by helicopter. You know, they're awful prisoners. The world, but it was too late. The brain having been bereft of oxygen for 20 minutes. You know, brain can only last 3 minutes with an oxygen. And the doctor pronounced it clinically dead. Then they called the teacher. And I went in to see her. And she was in a life supporting system, 16 years of age. And the head nurse came in and she knew right away who we were. You know what she said? She's a young woman, woman of the world. You know, she pointed to the girl, she said, preacher, she says, will you be on me? She said, preacher, all that takes in life is one message, one message. You know, we have to share her older brother from the pastor, as we went out to the cemetery in the desert, to lay into Mother Earth a young woman, who was raised in the Sunday school, left no testimony, 16 years of age. And it doesn't matter whether you're the president of any given country or whether you're just a nobody from the backwoods.
You're going to go through.
Whether it's off, or just, he had millions at his disposal, or the two Chinamen that I call when to have his funeral ever witnessed in Toronto. Just a hearse and one car, one driver and one attendant. I thought, you know, to come from Hong Kong to this country of Canada and have no friends is sad enough. But to die alone and have no friends in death, just one man, I think it was the wife of the departed, or might have been the sister, the saddest funeral I've ever seen all my life. It's sad to live alone, it's sadder still to die alone. But the truth remains, we must carry on that all because of death must die.
You heard of Perry Hall, didn't you?
Or was it Perry Hall? No matter where that young man went, hopping along, you know? Every once in a while I see a statue in Granite, Rhea, and Thunder Bay. Every man, everywhere that young man went, he drew Christ. And you know, he proved to the Canadian youth that there's something more worse to live than drugs and more licentiousness and immorality and corrupt. Well, it hurts you. But it's in the time when he did his last step and he couldn't last any longer. And Terry Fox has been gone for a number of years. You know that, don't you? and the man who attended his Orthopedic funeral, I heard him over the radio network. And he gave a public testimony, because very pretty. He gave a public testimony that a family Terry Fox did have a time in his life when he trusted Christ. Tell me, do you know the Savior of your own, with the ice cold hand of death taking a man? Because death for you is the last one that for him. The all of death, man can escape it. But here in Acts 13, a very bright picture, and that's the all of justification. Just the Apostle Paul, none would perish. Now look this evening. Before you go home, before you go through the folding door, you can know Christ as your Savior. Yes, he has power to save you now. Are you going to respond? Because it all can be justified. Your justification is about the biggest word I ever used for a Christian in the gospel. It simply means declared free of all guilt. And a very brief illustration will suffice. You remember the young in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord Jesus was taken by that morbid crowd, and Peter, he did the wrong thing, but he had his heart was right. After he saw this crowd coming, he took the oar, and the first man who would lay filthy hand upon the Redeemer, he would get it. You can almost hear the sheep or grinding steel against steel as it comes out, and he looked for the first man was Malchus. You know what Peter was guilty of at that very moment? He was guilty of attempted murder according to Roman law. After all, Malchus was a civil servant. Now let's suppose it's a court session and Peter's on the cup. Peter, according to the law of Rome, your evidence, your witnesses, you're guilty of attempted murder and therefore you're going back to die. That would have been the duty for Peter. Of the Roman judge and the Roman law, and in a way was just, so they called Malchus to the front. Malchus, is he the man who made free of the sword? Yes, sir, he is. Okay, and what did he try to do? Well, he tried to cut off my ear. And the judge said, all right, let's see the evidence. And Malchus turned around the ears on. Now, you may not get the point right away. The ear is on, and the judge, he said, now look, he has to dismiss the truthful account. You know the Lord Jesus knew what he did in the garden when after Peter cut the man's ear off, he threw him in the ground and he took the ear and put him on. No pictures on. The Savior put on the ear, he knew what it was doing. So Peter, by all law of the country, this case was his son and the judge. Listen, because there's just the evidence. Well, you know for why he interposed. Why did Peter go free? Because Jesus interposed. That's the picture of justification. Peter should have been condemned simply because he committed a crime. And I stand under condemnation through to you. But why is it you can be justified? Why is it that you can go out of the building this evening and child of God and person? Because God will not reckon anything to your charge with his such Christ who has promised in your stead. Justification simply means declaration of freedom from all guilt. Not laying anything to your charge to judge when you rightly deserve, you're free from it. Oh, come on, would you like to have it as my brother can do it? Justification. Thereby, Paul says, all can be justified. None need perish, young men, young women. You're a wonderful youth, and you can imagine.